The world has sold us a lie again of what motherhood looks like, just like it sold us a lie about nearly everything else around pregnancy and birth. It is not normal, y'all, for mothers to essentially mourn after giving birth. Some hormonal ups and downs, yes, but depression? No. So what has gotten us here? Let's talk about it today. Are you a Christian woman yearning for a beautiful, joyful pregnancy and birth with a focus on God, not medical tests? Are you worried the birth you want isn't possible and you're tired of being treated like an accident waiting to happen? Hey mama, I'm Lori, host of Your Birth, God's Way. I'm a certified nurse midwife now, but I wasn't always. After working for nearly 20 years in the broken maternity system, I too was in your shoes wondering how I could have the birth I wanted and that I felt God meant for me to have. I found a secret that has actually been known since the beginning of time. God's way is the best way. Spoiler alert, God made us and our babies, and He knows us best. He designed us perfectly for pregnancy, birth, and nourishing our babies after birth, if we work with His design and not against it. In this podcast, you'll learn how to be healthy and have joy during this time of life that will be over before you know it. So if you're ready to reclaim your birth and your babies for His glory, go turn on a few episodes of Bluey for that little one on your hip so you can put the focus back on you for a few minutes with me. I'm going to start out with today's review of the week. You know I love your reviews. I say it every week. This week is no different. This week I've got a review from Mo's Gal. She says, I love hearing about the way God designed our bodies to protect, grow, and nourish the next generation. More women need to hear the great news that they are sufficient for the needs of their children. The world puts so much fear into our minds to lead us to believe that we're insufficient or incompetent and need interventions, but that's just not the case. Keep telling us the truth. Thank you so much, Mo's Gal. And let me tell you, when I decided to read that review for today, I did not fully realize how much it was going to play into our topic for today, because today we're talking about postpartum anxiety and postpartum depression and how prevalent it is in our society. And at the root of this problem is this worldly message to us that we're just not enough, and that the things that we're doing are just not enough. And so today we're going to dig into that a little bit. So why is there so much depression, so much postpartum anxiety, and so much postpartum depression? Where is that coming from? Why is it that once we finally get the thing that some of us have been waiting for years and years and years to have, why is it that we're struggling so much and just so tore up and not balanced inside? Why is that? What has done that to us? Well, surely you've probably wondered that, and surely you probably know that that is not from God, and that is not something that He designed for us to deal with. So where does it come from? You know, some statistics say as many as 1 in 4 mamas deal with postpartum depression. That's a lot of moms. So why is there so much depression? Is it social media? Is it feminism telling us that we can have it all and that we should have it all? And if we don't, that we're doing something wrong? Is it our own unrealistic expectations? Is it pressure from outside sources? Maybe our husbands, maybe our mothers or our mothers-in-law? I don't know how you make that plural. There are lots and lots of sources that it could come from. But which ones really matter? So obviously our husbands matter, right? They are part of us. We are one. It's how God made man and woman to be when they come together as a husband and wife. He does definitely matter. But understand that He is also human just like you are. And sometimes He might not fully get what is realistic for motherhood because He's been deceived by the same world that some of us have been deceived by. So sometimes, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more towards the end, sometimes we might need to help Him understand what to expect and what is normal and what is real and what is realistic. Parents honestly don't matter. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful. Obviously, we're called to honor our father and our mother, but that is in a position of submission when we are children. As adults, we are to leave our parents and cleave to our husbands. So if the advice and the pressure maybe that we're getting from our parents is causing us anxiety and depression, we really need to put that at arm's length, because that is not a godly model or a godly structure for our motherhood. All that truly matters is our husband, as we've already said, and God. I know that the reality of what should be happening and what's actually happening are two very different things. I know that maybe sometimes our diets and our choices leading up to motherhood and the things that maybe that we've chosen without knowing any better, some of those things have predisposed us to situations that might leave us needing additional medical help. I get that. But I also get that there's some things that we can work on and we can correct within the instruction of God, within what is normal and expected for motherhood naturally, that can reduce our need for that medical help. Now, if you are to the point of thinking that maybe you're going to hurt yourself or hurt your baby, you do not need to ignore that. But I encourage you that as you deal with it, that you don't just turn to medication. Maybe it's decided at some point that you need that, but don't just turn there. I rather want you to pray like you've never prayed before for God's help. And I want you to turn to Christian counseling. Christian counseling that looks deep into the Word, doesn't just pay it lip service, but then moves on with the regular medical model. Doesn't just hand you a stack of prescriptions and say, here, good luck. See, our answer, our help, our hope comes from our Lord, our Creator, and He will help us when we seek Him. Medications, in some cases, and I'm very hesitant to say this because I know what these medications can do that's negative as well. I know the immense unnecessary side effects that you may suffer if you go on these medications. I do know that occasionally there are situations where they might help. But understand, Mama, they are not the answer any more than epidurals or Pitocin or Cytotec or any of these other things in the medicalized model of maternity care, any more than those are the answer. The answer is to get to the root of the problem and deal with the root. If you throw medications at problems, all you deal with is the symptoms. You never deal with the actual cause. And if you don't deal with the actual cause, you're just putting a Band-Aid on it. It's still there. Meds don't address that stuff. Only getting down to the heart of the problem is going to address that. What does God tell us? He's our Creator. He's our Maker. He's the Maker of our babies. What does He tell us in His Word? Well, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells us, come to me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Not you might find rest, maybe you get a little bit of rest, but you will find rest. Take my yoke upon you. What is he talking about? Well, a yoke is a big wooden thing that you would put oxen in to keep them together as they're doing their job, right? His yoke, when we take it upon us, he's guiding us. It was a tool that the farmer could guide the oxen. Jesus is saying, let me guide you. Learn from me. I will take your load. I will help you through this. And we have it right there in his Word. But we have to listen to it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Where is the good word? It is the Word. Stay in the Word. When you're feeling like this, get in the Word more. We have no excuse not to be reading the Scriptures. All of us probably have 3, 4, 10 maybe Bibles at our house. But let's say, you know, your hands are full because you're literally, they're full of a baby when you're nursing. We have phones everywhere. Once you get that baby latched on, why don't you pull up the Bible app on your phone and read and find peace in those moments and find the truth of God's Word, which will not cause anxiety in your heart, because it can't, because He does not bring to us bad things. But the world, all the world does is bring us anxiety. It's one anxious issue after another. We must turn to the good word, because that's what will make us glad and help us not to have anxiety and not to have depression. What do we do? How do we deal with this? What's some practical, actionable things that we can do to make sure that we don't fall into this trap of Satan where it steals our joy and it steals the wonderful things of these early days of motherhood? Well, first of all, you can actually expect a lot of fluctuation in your feelings in those first couple of weeks postpartum. It's normal because, see, your hormones are going from pregnant levels back to non-pregnant levels. And so there's a whole lot of fluctuation. There's a whole lot of up and down. And be especially wary that right around day 5, they bottom out. They bottom out. You bottom out from the pregnant hormones transitioning into the nursing and non-pregnant hormones. But guess what else happens right around day 5? You tend to be exhausted by that point. You've had labor for a day or two maybe, and now you've had a baby that you've been nursing around the clock for maybe 2, 3, 4 days. And so when you mix no sleep with anything, it always seems worse. If you're like me, you know, I'm always more prone to cry and get upset about something if I haven't had good sleep. And granted, at this point in your life, it's very hard to get good sleep. It's not realistic to expect that you're going to get good sleep. But what you do need to expect is when those tears come on that day 5, day 4, day 6, right around in there, don't be surprised and don't feel bad about it, and make sure that your husband knows that it's normal, okay? So that he doesn't come up to you and make it worse by going, "What's wrong with you?" Right? It's a normal thing. But what's not normal is for you to get in those teary states and stay there and not get yourself back out of them. A lot of the root of depression can also come from the traumatic things that some of us go through during birth. We have this vision of what we want our birth, or maybe we didn't have a vision at all. Maybe we walked into a hospital blind and just trusted that they wanted everything for our good. And then we get there and find out that it's not like that. And we go through a traumatic birth experience. And so that is the foundation that is laid leading into our motherhood, so that we already feel like failures because of how badly labor went, and we think that something was wrong with us. We don't even realize that the system did it to us. Preparing to have your birth the natural way, having the right support around you, and preparing to do things the way God intended us to do them will minimize that risk of it happening to you. It doesn't eliminate it, but it certainly does minimize it. You actually can have a joyful postpartum, and many mamas do. And more mamas do when they haven't fallen into the trap of the medicalized model of maternity care. You can have these things too, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more at the end, but there is no reason for you to walk into your birth unprepared, setting yourself up for that trauma. So we're going to realize a few things as we prepare to try to minimize our risk of having postpartum anxiety and postpartum depression. I meant to write in my notes, realize these blank number of things. I didn't write it down. So just go with me. I don't remember how many of them there are. Bear with me. It's going to be a lot of good stuff for you. First of all, realize that our culture, and this is a root of a lot of these expectations, our culture has actually taught us to be selfish. It has told us that all we need is me time. You need to focus on you, focus on you, focus on you. And that is true. Don't get me wrong. We do need to make sure that we're cared for. That is absolutely true to some extent. But we also need to recognize that this is a phase in life where an actual person relies on us 100% for their existence. It is not a time that is all about us. It's a little bit about us. We need to take the time to heal and take the time to care for ourselves so that we can recover from our births well. But that sweet baby completely relies on you for everything. So this is not a time to put yourself first. You have to put that baby first. Yes, we're becoming mothers. I understand that. And that is very important. And it is a beautiful transition. And I'm not minimizing that in the least. But I need you to understand that we have to remember that what the world tells us about how we should just bounce back and get back to doing all the normal things and, you know, forget what God intended us to do, which is to completely focus all of our energy on our babies, to immerse ourselves in just loving on those babies If God wanted babies to be independent and he wanted them not to rely on you, he could have made them that way. But they come out completely dependent on you. They also don't know how to tell you what's wrong or what they need in any way other than crying. And that can be hard as a mom. But you need to understand that's their only way of communication. So we need to spend all of our days, all of our time in those days focused on resting ourselves in whatever way we can manage to do and providing those babies with exactly what they need, learning those babies, learning their cries, learning what one cry means versus another, learning how they like to lay, how they like to eat, how they like to be held, all these things. Spend our time focusing on those things, not the things that the world tells us the things that the world tells us are important. And on that same along those same lines, trust God and not the world. Trust Him. When you worry, mama, listen to me when I tell you this. When you worry about every little thing around your baby, baby-proofing everything, making sure there is a bubble around your baby to where the world will never, ever, ever, ever cause anything to happen to your baby, you will actually worry yourself to death. And we know what the Bible tells us about worrying. So when you spend your every effort, everything you do, watching every move of your baby, every breath of your baby, it is debilitating. I know I just told you need to focus on your baby. You do, but not to this level of an unhealthy obsession where if they hiccup or breathe just a little bit wrong, you are so worried. You can't turn it off to go to sleep because you're scared to death of something happening. That's not normal either. There's a healthy balance in there. And just like you leaned on God during your pregnancy, you must lean on Him in motherhood as well. You must look to His word for your advice on parenting, not the world. And by the way, Proverbs is a great place to start to get some of that wisdom. You got to understand that, yes, you are a mother, but you are not God. And when you worry yourself silly over trying to make sure nothing ever, 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 ever happens to your baby, that anxiety will lead to this realization that it's impossible to fully protect your baby, and you will become depressed because you are chasing something that is impossible to obtain, and you will worry yourself sick. Next thing I want you to think about is that you probably need to turn off your phone. Now, I said a minute ago to turn on the Bible app. That's not what I'm talking about. Maybe put your phone on airplane mode so you can't see all the other stuff. Download the Bible, keep it on your phone, turn it on airplane mode. That way, you will stay off of social media and you won't see the rosy, filtered, fake, photographed family scenes that will only make you feel inadequate and make you feel like you're doing something wrong and that you're not enough, even though you're probably doing exactly what you should be doing. You know, I remember a story a friend of mine told me, and if she listens to this, she'll know who I'm talking about. But I remember she talked about a family picture that all she can think about when she looks back at it is the fights they were having just before it. But the pictures look beautiful and they're all smiling and happy, but how they were at each other's throats just before that. And then they stopped the fight, put on smiles, and then went right back to being mad at each other after the smiles. If I remember correctly, I think she even rebooked another photographer and redid them because she couldn't look at those because she had so many memories of what had happened before. So you need to realize that. All these perfect pictures you're seeing where, you know, the baby's just right, the big sister, big brother just right, that's one shot out of maybe 200, and then 199 of them were terrible because they were crying or screaming or fighting or whatever else. Turn off social media. What you're seeing there is not real. It is a snapshot, and we can all come up with a snapshot, but the reality is we all are dealing with real life. But it's easy to forget that when all you're seeing is people's best snapshots. Turn off social media. Next, stay home with your babies. Yes, I said that out loud. Stay home with your babies. So much sadness comes from the world telling us that we should work. This feminist thing that tells us we can have it all. We cannot have it all at the same time. We maybe might figure out a way to have it all at different times, but you can't have it all at the same time. And neither should you try to. We are called as mamas, as Christian women, we are called to be keepers of the home in Titus 2. We are to raise our children. When we decide to go out into the world to work. We give our best hours to the world rather than to our children. And it is natural that that doesn't feel right. It's natural that that would bring on sadness because it's not right. It's not what God put into your heart. He put into your heart a desire to be with your babies. While you're out there making somebody else's company rich at your J-O-B, you're giving the milestones of childhood away to somebody else, whoever it is that's watching your baby, whether it be your parents, your husband's parents, the daycare workers, whoever. They're getting those precious milestones and you're missing them and you can't get them back. And you know that in your heart of hearts. You know that you're meant to be home with your babies, but maybe debt, maybe worldly expectations, maybe any number of other false beliefs have led you to think that a woman's place is to be working and bringing in income. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with bringing in income, obviously. But what I am saying is that you are that baby's only mama. And your place when you have a baby is to be with that baby so that you can attend to that baby's needs in a way that no one else can, especially when it comes to things like nursing. There's no replacement for that. Even pumping and bottle feeding, it's better than formula, but it's still not as good as nursing at the breast. And there's no way you can do that if you're giving all of your hours to a job while someone else is caring for your baby. And I touched on this next one a little bit already, but not quite at this angle. Remember that you cannot have it all at the same time. You know, you can't nurse a baby and cook at the same time. You can't nurse a baby and go to work. You can't nurse a baby and do the laundry or clean the house. You can't raise your baby and have worldly prestige. To go back to the point I just made before, there is a time for those things, but the newborn phase is not that time. That is the time to give your all to your baby and to focus on your well-being and your baby's well-being. And when you start trying to do both, when you have to go back to work too soon, it is inevitable that that anxiety and that depression is going to set in because it is not a natural situation that you're putting yourself in, and it is not a place and not a position that God ever really wanted his daughters in. You don't see an example of that in Scripture. You don't see him telling mamas to go to work. You see him telling husbands to provide for the family and for women to raise the children. That's where he wants you to be. And that's where he wants your focus to be. He wants you to study his word so that you understand what he wants for you. And he wants you to stay in that word. And he wants you to raise your children and love your husband. And the only way you can fully the only way you can do that to your best, fullest ability is to be at home raising your children and being a keeper of the home. Next point is before you have your baby, before you give birth, make arrangements to have some of these things taken care of that I just talked about. The things like the laundry and getting the house cleaned and getting meals made and things like that. Take steps to take care of those things. Hopefully you're part of a church family that maybe will do this for you. Maybe they take care of their pregnant mamas great and they set up all this stuff for you. But if you're not in a place like that, that's okay. Instead of a shower, when maybe somebody says, hey, I'd like to throw you a baby shower. Instead of a shower, ask them to sign up to help you with daily chores. Maybe somebody comes over for an hour a day and does whatever needs to be done. Instead of a shower, maybe ask for a meal train. Ask for people to bring you food every day or every other day. Instead of a shower, maybe ask your parents or his parents to work together to make a schedule for how they can help you with your housekeeping. Not coming over just to hold the baby. That's your time to hold the baby. The whole point is so that you can be mama and all the other stuff can be taken care of by people who can't be mama. This tended to be the way things were done for many, many, many generations, but it's not the way it's done now in most places. So try to find ways to get back to the old times, because in old times, women surrounded women and women took care of women, and it was a time of celebration and joy and healing, and they weren't depressed and anxious. They were simply focused on that mama becoming a mama and taking care of that baby. If you're struggling with these things, if you're feeling these feelings of anxiety and depression and you don't know what to do, one really great thing that you can do is to turn to a sister in Christ who you can lean on. Have her come over to talk, or maybe just talk on the phone if that's not feasible. Maybe she lives somewhere else. Read scripture together, pray together. Be careful, though, who you do choose to talk to, because not everyone is good for you, but hopefully your intuition is good and strong and will lead you to ask the right person to be there for you. I highly recommend, if you can, finding an older sister at your congregation who's just a few steps ahead of you in life to confide in and ask her for help and guidance. I'll tell you that many of us, quote, older ladies, and yes, I put myself in that category because I'm in my 40s now, and I have a lot of life experience now that some younger ladies, maybe in their 20s, just don't have yet, because they can't have it yet. They haven't lived long enough. And I know a lot of ladies like me, we want to fulfill that role that God has called us to help the younger ladies, to teach the younger ladies. But we live in a culture that tells us not to bother anybody and not to judge people. So we often just assume you're fine because you look fine at church on Sunday mornings. But we know that some of you all need help. We really know that, but we don't know who, and we don't want to make you feel like you maybe look frazzled or inadequate in any way, but we long to help you. So if there's an older sister, and when I say older, I don't mean that she has to be 80 or 90. Maybe she is 80 or 90, and that's fine, but there's lots of mamas who are in their 40s and 50s who would love to help you if you'll just let us know. We would love to help guide you and walk next to you along this journey. But sometimes you just got to let somebody know. We can't always know without you telling us, especially again in this world of social media, when on social media it looks like everything's great. We don't see any indication that you need any help, but we want to help you if you need it. And there's no shame in asking for it. Next, evaluate your expectations. Is what you are thinking is normal actually normal? Or is it just an illusion, again, based on what you've seen on social media? You've got to be realistic with yourself and realize that maybe what it is that you think you're supposed to attain is not actually what you're supposed to obtain. And just reevaluate your scale of what normal is. That way, you're not becoming anxious over not accomplishing something that's not really even possible for you to accomplish anyway. Get some exercise is the next one. Get some exercise. And I know you're thinking, I am exhausted. I ain't got time for that. No, I don't mean go to the gym and work out for 2 hours. What I mean is get outside, walk around the block, maybe put the baby in the stroller, push him around the block. I don't care if it's 20 degrees. You can bundle that baby up well and you can get some exercise, because walking gets your blood flowing. Sunlight is a proven remedy for depression, and so is exercise. So a walk around the block is a great way to get some fresh air, sunlight, and just get your blood pumping. And it is so good for your mental health. And then the last thing, talk to your husband ahead of time so he can have realistic expectations. You got to let him know that these fluctuations are normal that I talked about earlier, and let him know that one of the best things that he can do for you after birth is just to take care of anything around the house that he can find that needs doing. See, men are doers. They need to feel like they are doing something to fix problems. That's how God made them. But sometimes they don't know what to do. They don't know what the things are that need to do. So you might just need to guide them a little bit. I'm not talking about nagging them, but just kind of help him to see what needs to be done. Let him know that there are some things like breastfeeding that he just simply cannot do. And that's your main job. So you can't do other things like the laundry or cooking supper or whatever else while you're doing those things. And those things take a lot of time, especially in those first weeks. You're nursing every 2-3 hours. And then those feedings that are every 2-3 hours might be 30, 45 minutes, maybe even an hour. So you might really be spending somewhere up to a half of your day nursing a baby. And that is normal and that is good, but that only leaves so many hours left. And in those hours, you can't cram everything else in. You still have to rest and shower and do things like that. And so help him to understand that there's a lot of things that he could do to make it easier for you to be able to adjust to motherhood well. He can help you and be a better man for you if he understands a little bit more about what's normal. Now, all of this can seem like a lot, but early on in the episode, I mentioned that one of the things you need to do to minimize your risk of suffering from postpartum anxiety and depression is just being prepared and having that natural birth that isn't traumatic, that hasn't been messed with, has not been taken outside of God's will. And one of the best ways you can do that is through my course, the Your Birth God's Way online Christian childbirth education course, which is an on-demand course that you can take in whatever free time that you have. And there's an entire module in there on taking care of yourself and taking care of your baby after birth. And so I really want you to go check that out because I want you to be prepared. There is no excuse in this day and time to not be prepared. I wish that you didn't have to be. I wish that you didn't have to study and to read and to watch videos to make sure that you're ready for whatever may come your way in the childbirth world that we live in. But unfortunately, that is where we're at, and that is what's best for you, because if you're not prepared, you will get things thrown at you that you aren't ready for, that you don't know if they're good or bad, and it's very easy to fall into the trap of all the medical interventions starting. It's very easy to fall into the trap of having expectations that are just not realistic. And so I want you to go check that out. It's over at yourbirthgodsway.com/replay course, or you can get their link down in the show description to read more about it. If you have questions, you're welcome to email me. I want you to be as prepared as you can be because I want you to have the joy that God intended you to have in those first days and weeks of motherhood. It is a beautiful, beautiful time, and Satan is stealing it from us right and left. Don't let him do that. Don't let him steal this from you. And I didn't mention this earlier, but one other thing that we really have to focus on is making sure in those postpartum days, and I talk about this a lot in the course as well, making sure that we're getting tons of whole nutrition so that our brains can function well. And these things, we have all kinds of tools available to us that God has given us to push Satan out and to make sure that he's not stealing those days. But in this world where he is busy and he is stealing the good from Christians right and left, we've got to be ready. And the best way you can be ready is to arm yourself with knowledge. So go down to the show notes, to the description, click on that link, go check it out right now. And I hope you'll jump in there with us because we want to all support each other to be ready for anything Satan throws our way because we want to reclaim the joy that we were meant to have in motherhood. And by the way, if you're hearing this on Tuesday, our very first live Q&A is going to be this Thursday. So if you jump in today, if you're listening to it live, I think it'll be March the 5th when this posts. Our very first live is this Thursday. So if you hop in today, you will be able to attend that live Zoom meeting where we do the live question and answer session as part of the course this Thursday. So make sure you go grab it. Don't wait and miss out on it. And I will see you over there, and I will see you right back here next week. Real quick, if today's episode blessed you in any way, would you head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a quick 5-star written review? It'll take you less than a minute, but it's the best thank you you can give me. And it will help my show to reach more mamas just like you so we can all find God's best for our families. I'll see you right back here in a few days.